Hello and welcome to the debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, originally planned to take 2 weeks, and now 2 years later, insurgents of the Syrian government and their supporters have not been able to overthrow the government of Bashar al-Assad. However, they continue to pump more money and send more weapons in their attempt to overthrow a sovereign nation. How many people must be killed in Syria, and how much of the infrastructure must be destroyed before it is allowed for the Syrian people to design their future themselves?
The members of the so-called Friends of Syria, known as Enemies of Syria inside the Arab nation, have been seen taking a family photo with the head of the foreign-backed opposition, Moaz Ahmed al-Khatib, in the Italian capital, Rome. Participants in the meeting, especially the US, promised to provide material support to insurgents fighting the Syrian government. Washington has pledged $60 million to the militants.
This funding will allow the opposition to reach out and help the local councils to be able to rebuild in their liberated areas of Syria.
A group of anti-war activists has gathered near the Italian Foreign Ministry, the venue of the meeting, questioning the real intentions of the so-called Friends of Syria.
And we're here today because there's a meeting in Italy at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to solve the Syrian problem, And how are they going to solve it? Well, the minister, the new U.S. Secretary of State, John Kerry, has come. This is, by the way, John Kerry is the man you see in the picture there, the man who in 1971, when he was a young man, protested against the war in Vietnam and even got arrested for protesting. Now, in Syria, there are also nonviolent groups who are against the regime that Kerry and the Italian minister could have convened to Rome. But they didn't invite the nonviolent groups. They invited the violent groups.
The U.S. also says it will supply the rebels with logistic assistance, but has claimed the aid will be non-lethal. The U.S. has said it's worried that weapons may end up in the hands of the al-Qaeda offshoot in Syria, the al-Nusra Front. However, al-Nusra is the backbone of the insurgency against the Syrian government. And the U.S. allies in the region, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Turkey, are already supplying them with arms. The New York Times has reported that the Saudis are supplying the insurgents with arms bought from Croatia. It has quoted unnamed U.S. officials as saying that multiple plane loads of weapons have left Croatia for Syria's neighbors and are being smuggled into Syrian territory. U.S. officials have repeatedly stated they are stepping up their efforts to bring about transition in Syria, what many call a euphemism for regime change. The recent attempts to arm and aid the militants are said to be achieving this objective, marginalizing the international mediator Lakhdar Brahimi, who has been tasked with obtaining a negotiated settlement to the deadly violence in Syria.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program out of Damascus, political commentator, Mr. Ala Ibrahim. And out of Washington, of the Center for American Progress, Mr. Lawrence Korb. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start this off in Washington with Mr. Korb. Now, basically, with the U.S. Secretary of State, John Kerry's announcement of sending more aid to the insurgents 2 years after this violence has begun, is this a sign of the U.S.'s desperation in its failed Syrian strategy, in your perspective?
No, I don't think so. I think what it is, as you pointed out in your run-up here, it's non-lethal aid. The U.S. basically has refrained from giving a lot of weapons that a lot of countries and a lot of people in the opposition party in the United States have urged President Obama to do. It's non-lethal aid. And basically, the feeling is with the non-lethal aid, that will limit the casualties. We are not providing any of the lethal aid that a lot of people say that that we should. The United States, right from the beginning, when the demonstrations against President Assad started, right after the so-called Arab Spring in Tunisia and Egypt, or urge them to negotiate. It was President Assad that started the violence first. The opposition did not. And the more violence is used, the more the opposition has grown, and militarily they're achieving their objectives many times with weapons which they've got from Assad or people from Assad who have defected to the rebels.
All right, well, Mr. Ibrahim, let me turn back and turn to you in Damascus. Your take on what our guest in Washington said, that the $60 million is non-lethal and really is not going to cause any harm in that sense. Your take overall on what the U.S. has said recently, not only about the $60 million in aid, but basically saying they really want to expedite what they call the fall of your president.
Well, first of all, let me thank your guest in Washington. I am really amused at a time which is very difficult to be amused here in Damascus. I think the person who invented the term non-lethal aid should be brought before justice because it's one of the biggest lies ever witnessed in history. Let me remind you that in the 80s, if someone told an American official, "Are you supporting al-Mujahideen in Afghanistan?" they would say, "No, we're not supporting al-Mujahideen in Afghanistan." And they will reiterate the same arguments that your guest is saying from the United States of America. But I tell your guest, as a person who has been on the ground, as a person who has been able to escort militants in their incursions, and as someone who has witnessed many battles in Syria, this is completely baseless. The insurgents have weapons which they acquired from abroad. The insurgents have weapons that they had no way of getting their hands on without direct American help. The Americans maybe did not buy the weapons, but they're surely turning a blind eye when the Saudis are giving it to the rebels. But and in addition to the fact that the last batch of non-lethal aid that was sent to the rebels was used to buy communication devices, which we all know are essential for any fight in the battlefield. That's the first thing. The second thing, to say that any gains, military gains, that the insurgents have accomplished are thanks to the weapons they have acquired from the government, or that weapons they have acquired from defectors, is completely, actually, I'm sorry to say that, it's completely ridiculous. You can't take airports using AK-47s. This is completely ridiculous. You can't shoot down airplanes, MiG-23s, and helicopters using RBGs. So I think that's that. So I'll tell you something. The new $60 million will be joining many millions before that were spent by the United States of America, the United Kingdom, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Turkey to fund the armed groups in Syria. Among those, there are many terrorist groups who are using them to fund terrorist operations, like the explosion we witnessed in Damascus last week in Al-Mazraa area. So I think the term non-lethal aid should not be applied here.
What about that, Mr. Korbat? We know that the U.S. and its regional allies, if we're talking about Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, that they say they want democracy to come, especially the U.S. saying that they want democracy to come to Syria, and yet they support Salafist groups who know anything else but democracy and definitely very undemocratic. Has Washington not learned from what has happened in the 1980s, as our guest was recently just saying about Afghanistan, when they supported the Mujahideen, that some of them later became the Taliban? Is it that Washington, either they don't know what they're doing, or do they want Syria to be in this state of turmoil?
Well, you got several different strands here. We did support the Mujahideen in Afghanistan because they had been invaded by the Soviet Union. And once the Soviet Union left, then we left. A lot of people argued we should have stayed to prevent the Taliban from taking over. We decided it was going to really be up to the Afghans to decide their own future.
Well, my main point here are the arms. My main point here are the arms and what happened.
Yes, but I'm trying to tell you, if you let me finish here.
Go ahead.
What happened, yes, we did give them the arms to defeat the Soviet Union. There's no doubt about that. But they didn't turn their arms against anybody else. I mean, the Taliban took over because there was chaos. We left. A lot of people said we should have stayed. No, we left to let them make their own decisions. The Stinger missiles that we gave to shoot down the Soviet Hind helicopters had nothing to do with the Taliban taking over. We didn't arm the Northern Alliance. In fact, it was Iran that armed the Northern Alliance to fight the Taliban. We only went back to Afghanistan basically after they harbored Al-Qaeda, which attacked us. Now, when you get to Syria,
well,
we have not provided
your guests,
any lethal
Al-Qaeda was founded by
Al-Mujahideen
in
been
the 80s
criticized.
In Afghanistan. It wasn't founded later on after the Americans left Afghanistan.
No, Al-Qaeda was founded by Bin Laden, who was a Saudi.
Bin Laden was not the Al-Mujahideen. He received funds. Sir,
okay,
Bin Laden
I didn't interrupt
was
you.
Not the
okay, okay, go ahead.
Funds
go ahead, Mr. Korp.
Of
go
the
ahead.
Saudis. And this is a well-known fact. Everyone knows that.
All right, Mr. Abraham, let Mr. Korp talk, and I'll give you a chance. Go ahead, Mr. Korp.
Okay. All right, and then you can respond. Bin Laden was a Saudi who was upset that the United States left forces in Saudi Arabia after the first Gulf War.
Okay, let me
There's
get
no
back
doubt
to the
about
point
the fact
at
that he
I
got
want
experience
to concentrate,
in fighting.
I want to concentrate on the type of arms that are being sent into Syria right now, even if it was a situation that the United States wants to change the government in Syria. Do you think that that would be something that would increase security in Syria? I mean, what exactly does the United States have in mind? We have tens of thousands of Syrians being killed now through these 2 years with bombs going off, infrastructure being destroyed, and yet the United States keeps saying that their goal is the protection of the Syrian people.
Now, the United States wants the Syrian people to decide their own future.
Why don't
if
you let
Assad
them?
Had listened to the people when they started peaceful demonstrations, you wouldn't have that. He was the first one to turn arms against the people, just like his father did.
This
basically,
is a misinformation.
When he slaughtered 40,000 people
in
Homs.
People.
Okay, go ahead. Let me turn to Damascus. Go ahead, Mr. Ibrahim.
No, it's not. He took.
Mr. Abraham, go ahead.
First of all, let me point a few points out for your esteemed guest in Washington. Osama bin Laden might be a Saudi, but he was one of the Mujahideen who fought the Soviet Union in the 80s, and he received funds and American weapons supplied by the Americans to him to fight the Soviet Union. And he later on turned on the United States and carried out 9/11. So that needs to be cleared. The second thing, let's go back to basics. It's immoral, not to mention it's illegal for any country to interfere in any other country's internal affairs, not to mention arming mutiny in that country. I don't support the Syrian government. I don't support the rebels in Syria, but it is immoral, illegal for the United States of America to step in and send arms to a party in Syria that it thinks has a right in ruling the country. It shouldn't do that. This is completely wrong. And one final point. When you say it was the government who turned its guns against its people, I think you should get your facts straight. By the early in the protest, and almost 18th of March on 2010, there has been dead soldiers among the riot police, dead conscripts among the riot police and the riot control, and they died. They didn't die because the protests were peaceful. They died because some people inside the protest decide to take up arms and shoot at the police at that time. The army was not involved then. You need to get that straight, actually, sir.
Well, Mr. Korb, in general, would you say that without the money from the United States and France, without the arms from Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and Turkey's help, would there be the type of insurgency with the damage that is being inflicted upon Syria right now? Would it be taking place? Is this a revolution, or is this basically
yes,
something
it would.
That's... This is a revolution with all of these other countries, external forces being involved? Do you believe that really this is a Syrian people revolution?
Yes, I do. That's what they started. They, just like in Egypt and Tunisia, which started basically, you know, the people rising up to say that they wanted to determine their own destiny. They wanted a fair share of the resources of the country. And in Tunisia and Egypt, it happened because the military wouldn't support the regime, and we encouraged Mubarak to step aside. Assad has taken the opposite tack. He is fighting to the bitter end. There's no way he can win. There's no way he can win because there's no way that he, basically given the comparatively small support that the Alawites have, that he is going to be able to kill all of the people. And basically, the Turks got involved because all the refugees were coming into Turkey, to get away from what
again,
the Assad regime
again, more misinformation.
Was,
the Turks were involved before the refugees moved into Turkey,
weapons
actually.
Okay, well, yeah, Mr. Abraham just brought up a point that I was about to say.
Please, this is completely acceptable.
Were not the Turks
this is
already
misinformation
involved
at the highest
before
level,
this?
Actually.
Go ahead, Mr. Abraham.
And by the way, Bin Laden went from Saudi Arabia to Sudan before he went back to Afghanistan. So you got that completely
but
wrong,
But he was
too.
In Afghanistan before, sir. He was in Afghanistan before. He fought the Soviets using weapons supplied by the Americans, using the knowledge he got from American CIA operatives. Maybe he organized Al-Qaeda and went on to use these resources to attack the Americans again.
He was a minor part of the Mujahideen. It was a minor part of the Mujahideen.
But he was part of them, and he used the resources given to him by the United States of America to attack American civilians in 9/11.
He didn't play that big a role.
All right, Mr. Kaur, I want to get back to a point that you just made. Mr. Kaur, I want to get back. Hold on a second, please, Mr. Abraham. Mr. Kaur, I want to get back to a point that you just made, and you said that it's a revolution. When you have these outside entities, and many people will say that the majority of the Syrians, whether they liked Bashar al-Assad or not, they will stand firm behind the government because they do not want foreign entities trying to take over their country. Can you understand that type of perspective that many Syrians say that they have right now?
Well, the way to find out is that let's have an election. Let's have a free and
what about
open
that?
Election.
Why
we'll find
doesn't?
Out
well, let's look
true.
At this,
no,
what
I
you just
deny.
Made. Let's talk about the election. Now, right now, Russia has proposed that the sides come to Moscow and have a talk. The United States has basically responded by encouraging, first of all, giving more money and also saying they want to expedite Bashar Assad, basically his fall. Why doesn't the United States allow this to happen, allow these talks to take place so possibly they could reach the point of having an election?
Okay, let's go back, and you mentioned Brahimi. We supported the UN putting Lakhdar Brahimi, by the way, who brokered the arrangement with the Iranian help in Afghanistan, okay? We supported him. He went to Assad. Assad would not go along with the suggestions he made about bringing the sides together and having a free election. He's the one who has done it. We've encouraged the Russians to get Assad to allow the elections. He won't do it because he knows he's going to lose.
All right, let me switch over to, I'll get back to you, Mr. Abraham, and let you comment, but first let me switch over to Press TV's Facebook page. We have a few comments that we've picked out here. Let's check them out.
On Press TV's Facebook page, we have posted this question. How are the activities of funding, training, and arming insurgents exacerbating the problem of insurgency in Syria? Alexander H. Chanza said, how can they fight terrorism when they are the ones funding them? Hossein Sajjad said, Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups are the special task force of America and Israel. They serve the interest of Zionists in Iraq, Afghanistan, and now in Syria. Rafat Hajjan said, it's a shame on the West to change a moderate regime of Assad with extremists linked to Al-Qaeda. Abdul Hamid Bumo said, the people of America are great people, but the hypocrite system that runs the American nation creates hatred and enmity for the nation and its innocent citizens.
Okay, well, let me turn back to Damascus, looking at some of these comments. Your take on them, basically, the majority of them was saying that why is a country like the United States even allowed to be involved in funding what is obviously going to be is a very extreme group? And, of course, we know that a lot of the insurgents fighting the Syrian government are linked to al-Qaeda, the same people, the same group that the United States says it's at war with. Mr.
Abraham. First of all, let us correct a few things. That were mentioned in the show before. Your guest from Washington said that Ibrahimi came to Assad and proposed things that President Assad refused. Let me tell you very clearly that what happened is that al-Ibrahimi, the United States, Moscow, and Russia, of course, and the Syrian government have all agreed on the Geneva Communique. The Geneva Communique regulates what the West calls a transitional period in Syria. The Geneva Communique, which everyone agrees on, now The Americans think because they can give more weapons to the insurgents, they think they can turn it back. The Geneva communique mentions nothing about the president stepping down, and this is why they want to overturn it. It wasn't the president who turned against previous agreements. It was the Americans who thought by their arrogance, by their very well-known arrogance, they can turn the table on everyone, as they're trying to do right now. Now, I ask something, and this is very important to me as a Syrian. Who gives the American administration the right to interfere in our internal affairs? Who gives it the right to say that this president should go and this president should say? Who gives it the right to interfere even in Egypt? Your guest is saying we pushed Mubarak to go to leave his post, and they want Assad to do so. It's not their position. It's not the position of any foreign country to say that the president of Syria or the president of any sovereign nation should step down.
What about that, Mr. Kaur?
That being said,
okay, let him respond. Go ahead, Mr. Kaur.
Well, basically, what you have is the doctrine of the responsibility to protect, which was enunciated during the horrible things that happened in the Balkans. When the United States refused to go in right away, we were criticized by people in the Muslim world who said, well, if those were Westerners or Christians or Jewish people, you'd be in there. That's the reason we're in there, under the doctrine which is recognized by the United States' responsibility to protect. That's why we're in there. The great irony is this is not U.S.-led. The United States has been criticized for, quote-unquote, leading from behind. We have not taken a big role here in Syria.
Well, can
Did you call $60 million not a big role? What is a big role, then?
Okay, well, Mr. Korb, in general, you're saying that it's the United States' response. Let me just ask this question. You're saying basically that it's the United States' responsibility because of what happened in the Balkans. And we know that there are many, many different things that are happening throughout the world. But it always seems that the United States usually are involved in places that are of strategic interest to Washington itself. Is this not about something else, a lot more than basically just about human rights? Because let us be honest, tens of thousands of Syrians have been killed since this has been going on in the last 2 years. Are we talking about human rights? Are we just talking about strategic interests? And that United States, basically, it doesn't matter to them as far as the amount of bloodshed, as long as they can reach their goal.
The United States had very good relations with the Assad regime before this started. The President Bush had sent our ambassador back there, and we had established relations. We were working with the Syrians to deal with the Turks and the whole Middle East peace process. We didn't start this thing. So it's not our strategic interest is stability. Are we better off with Morsi as opposed to Mubarak? From a strategic point of view, it's questionable.
Okay, I'm almost out of time.
Let me turn there to make their own decisions.
All right. Okay, let me turn back to Damascus. Go ahead, sir.
Well, your guest never ceases to amuse me tonight. Let me first elaborate something for him. President Bush, former President Bush, has pulled back his ambassador from Syria for 4 or 5 years of his 2 periods that he served as President of the United States of America. President Bush surely did not have good relations with President Assad, nor the Syrian government, nor the Syrian government ever had something that could be labeled as good relations with the American government. They might have some cooperation in anti-terrorism acts after the 9/11, when the Americans were freaking out about terrorism and Islamic fundamentalist networks, and they sought help from the Syrian government, and the Syrian government, I think, provided help at that time.
30 seconds, Mr. Ibrahim.
But they never had
good
relations. And something else, before you said that the president is counting on the support of his sect to kill all the Syrians, this is untrue, sir. Get your information straight. The president has the support of many Syrians, including the Sunnis, the Christians, the Ismailis, the Alawites, the Druze. Many people support the president, and at the same time, not all the Alawites support the president. Some of them are against him. It's not
Let's have an election and we'll find out.
If the Americans stop sending arms to our country, we'll be more
than
happy to have an election.
And on that
note, I am so sorry.
Stop sending weapons to our country and we'll have an election.
We are out of time. I'm so sorry. I thank both of our guests tonight, Mr. Ala Ibrahim, political commentator out of Damascus, and from the Center for American Progress, Mr. Lawrence Korb out of Washington. Thank you both for being with us. And thank you, viewers, for joining us. And make sure you join us right here, same time, same place tomorrow for the debate. Thank you so much. I'm Marzia Hashemi, signing out, and goodbye.